This morning, our reading from St. Matthew's Gospel gives us the opportunity to reflect, with periods of silence, on three key issues. One of the positives of lockdown has been having the opportunity to set aside time to meet with God and to read the Bible. But one of the things I have missed, which to a certain extent has surprised me, is being in a church building and using that sacred space to reflect, to feel God's presence and draw near to Him. The last 4 months have shown me that it is not always easy to create a space that is not only away from distractions, but also a place which encourages me to focus positively on God. Sometimes such a space is described as a thin place where the distance between heaven and earth seems small, where we can feel the presence of God. The term comes from the mystical world of Celtic spirituality and the Celtic Christians, who were deeply connected to the natural world and who considered every aspect of life to be infused with the presence of God. Church buildings have been used by generations of Christians for prayer and worship to feel the presence of God. So how can we create such a space wherever we may find ourselves? Time away from the hustle and bustle of life, away from noise and worldly demands, to shed all our cares. For some, it helps to go for a walk. As one clergyman said to me some years ago, he found going for a walk every day with his dog helped him to create such a space. But what about those of us who can't readily get outside every day? Then perhaps we can sit and look out of the window at clouds forming interesting shapes across a blue sky, or a tree with its leaves blowing in the wind. But what if you're not fortunate enough to have such a view out of your window? Then finding an object to look at, perhaps a photograph of a mountain scene with a lake, a postcard of a work of art, a candle burning in the dark, an exquisite flower in full bloom. Whatever one chooses, we can use it, as the psalmist says, to be still and know that I am God. In the beginning of the passage from Matthew, we learn that Jesus withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He recognized his need to go off alone and did this at momentous times of his life and ministry. On this occasion, he had heard of the horrendous death of John the Baptist and perhaps needed time for contemplation and mourning. He also needed to prepare himself for his journey to Jerusalem and to face the cross. He used this time to get ready for the upcoming significant events, when he needed to have all the spiritual strength possible. He could gain this from time spent alone with his Heavenly Father. Key to these times was the way in which he listened to and then obeyed God's will. Jesus seeks the fellowship, solace, and guidance of his Father. What a wonderful example for us. If Jesus recognized his need for such times, then how much more do we need them? Be still and know that I am God. God, we thank you for those places where we can move from doing and planning and striving to being simply with you. We thank you for the hills of Galilee with the lake below, the sacred ground on which Jesus stood and prayed to you. We thank you for his vibrant presence, driving out fear and terror and bringing courage to every shaking heart. Lead us to the sacred ground of our own time and place, the hills and lakes, rooms or spaces, where we can be simply with you. Remove our anxiety, false pride and paralyzing doubt, and lead us step by step to inch falteringly into your kingdom. In this passage from Matthew, we learn of the concerns of the disciples for the thousands of people who had followed Jesus to this remote place. It is getting late, and they are worried that there isn't enough food to go round. Surely they are well-intentioned, and his response, "They do not need to go away, you give them something to eat," seems harsh and unfair. But the problem is that they have missed the point. They have failed to put it all before God. They have looked at it in an all too human way. Jesus' action is to take the 5 bread rolls and 2 fish and to ask for God's blessing. Now the disciples are able to do what Jesus has asked them to do, to give the crowd something to eat. He gives the disciples the miraculously multiplied food, and they pass among the crowd and give the pieces to the people. The passage from Isaiah takes us to the need to trust and surrender, to take a leap of faith. God's invitation is not merely a supply of bodily needs, but to satisfy a person's whole being with true life. He begins with the physical and then moves on to a spiritual plane. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And give ear and come to me. Listen that you might live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David." The real issue for us is not deliverance from physical need, but deliverance from alienation from God. We need to accept what God can do. A banquet table is useless to someone who is too proud or too ashamed to come and eat. God's challenge is for us to take a leap of faith, to exercise faith first and let understanding come afterwards. The problem is we want to decide what is right and wrong for ourselves. We want to hold the place of God in our lives and to have God serve us, supplying our needs as we dictate. Instead, in faith, we need to let go of secure footholds and apparent certainties to do things God's way. As long as we insist that everything about God's ways and plans be made completely intelligible to us before we decide to act on his invitation, we will never act. A stark illustration of the gravity and intensity of this invitation can be seen in this tragic story of a flood. A mother, her son, and her daughter are clinging to the branches of a large tree, surrounded by raging flood waters. The rescue team in a boat cannot get right up to the tree because of debris, but the distance between the boat and the tree can be jumped with effort. The team in the boat shout with urgency, "Jump, jump!" But the family members are afraid. Finally, summoning up courage, the daughter jumps and lands safely in the boat. Then the son jumps. He falls into the water, but the rescuers are ready and quickly pull him into the boat. Now the rescuers, along with the son and daughter, plead with the mother, "Jump, jump, you can do it. We'll catch you if you fall short." There is a compelling urgency in their invitation, but she is afraid, and she debates whether to jump or to remain in the apparent safety of the tree. There is a terrible crack, the tree falls, and she is swept away. Trust and surrender. Seek the Lord while he may be found. If we surrender our right to decide what is best for us and allow God to determine that, then we are on our way. We have turned the corner. We have learnt to trust and surrender. In these days of the pandemic, there are many things we find difficult to get our head round, problems which seem huge and insurmountable. One of the things we can learn from these challenging times is the need to put all our concerns and anxieties before God, to trust and surrender. The third key matter to reflect on is God's love and compassion. In the Matthew passage, we learn of Jesus' compassion. First of all, he spends time healing the sick who've been carried out of the towns by the people who have followed him. Later in the day, he concentrates on everyone's physical needs, providing them with food. We often think of him feeding 5,000 people. But looking again, we can see that it was far more than that. 5,000 men, plus women and children, probably nearer 10,000, fed from 5 small loaves and 2 fish. Seemingly impossible, and yet there were 12 baskets of food left over. In place of sorrow and sighing, there will be joy and peace. God promises that forgiveness and abundance are ours now and for the future, so long as we seek him sincerely and unreservedly. At the end of the last period of silence, I will read the verses from Psalm 145, which are chosen for today, which help us see the depth of God's love and compassion for us. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. Amen.